Welcome back to The Block Party. I'm your host, Nick Pete. Delighted if you've returned to join us again for the number one show online, which connects you, the fans, to the number one athletes that you adore so much. Delighted that you've come back with us, and what a show we've got tonight. This is episode 8 of The Block Party, and listen to this for a lineup of guests. We've got RoboCop, Megatron, and Game Bread. Yes, absolutely, man. It sounds like a monster movie, doesn't it? Insane. Of course, we are rich with the UFC. Last weekend, it was all about UFC Austin, which went down in Texas. Probably the best UFC card this year. Knockouts galore. Delighted to say we've got two of the bonus winners from that night. Join us on the show. Gregory Rodriguez, who literally lashed his Brazilian jiu-jitsu black belt in the bin to score yet another sensational knockout. And we've got Phil Hawes as well, who got back to winning ways with a thrilling knockout of his own. And obviously, this is the block party, man. If that wasn't enough, we have also got the main man himself, Street Jesus, baby. That's right, the baddest motherfucker in the UFC. That's official. Jorge Masvidal will be joining us a little bit later in the show to reveal his exclusive new NFT collection. And of course, talk about what's coming next for him inside the octagon. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, where's the little squiddly looking fella with the bald head? The little fella with the funny face? Listen, let me tell you about it, man. Some of us are professional. Some of us turn up and do business when we agree to do business. And other people get dragged away on business meetings. Listen, the guy's not here. He's out the country. I'm told he's not available. I'm going to be flying the show solo tonight. And I tell you what, with that, the quality of the handsomeness of this show just leapt up 100%. I'm sure you'll agree. You should be delighted that you're not going to have to look at Adam Cattell's face for the next hour or so. You've just got me with three beautiful guests, and it's happy days.
Surprise, surprise, motherfucker.
What are you doing? What's this?
Hola, buenos dias, campeón. Vamos! Vamos! That is LFG in goddamn Spanish.
I've been set up. I got told you weren't on the show. Where are you?
Nah, man, listen. That man from Del Monte, he always say yes. He always say yes. We're just having a bit of
Wait a minute. Whoa. I'm in my pot and shed back in Liverpool, sweating me nuts off, grinding, ready for the show, prepped all my interviews, good to go. Where are you? And more to the point, you better not be with the rest of the Block Asset crew. You better not all be abroad enjoying yourselves and left me at home to carry the fort on my own.
Listen, you know the score here, Sunshine. Everything's undercover. I do not send location. This isn't a bee country. I keep that nice and secret. All you need to know is that tonight I've come as a Hamza Chimaev NFT. Look at this. I've got the hat on. I've got the specs on. I've got the green background. All I need to do is this. Just need to sit here now for an hour and a half, don't I, lad? There you go. Oh, no, I'm not with the Block Asset boys. I've left them to it there. I think they're still out and about in Albuquerque or something, aren't they? They're still knocking about out there, enjoying themselves, doing bits. No, I am. I'm in a different location. I won't reveal where. But don't worry, mate. When I make a deal, son, I make a deal. I'm here. I'm ready to rock and roll.
This has completely threw me off now. I was ready to go. And listen, I don't care that you're here. You're going to play second fiddle.
Ship, didn't you?
That's it. Hey! The lads can't do this to me.
Capitano, eh?
I've waited 6 years to fly this ship, and what? And suddenly, you wouldn't even give me one show. You wouldn't even let me do one episode.
Listen, I tell you what. I'll play second fiddle tonight. You do what you want, mate.
Yes.
I'll just respond to whatever you want. If you need me, I'm here. If you don't need me, kick me out of the room. But I tell you something, if you boot me out of the room when Jorge Masvidal's here, we're going to have serious words when I get back, all right? He's a pal of mine.
Oh, I see. Yeah, besties. Right, okay. Well, listen, just have a beer for a minute. Let me get some work done, please. Because as you know, here on The Block Party, we like to give away prizes. We like to give away Block. We like to give away NFTs. We like to give away once money can't buy opportunities for you, the fans, to connect with these athletes, with these fighters. And tonight, I'm delighted to say that we've got a sensational, I would call it a raffle. I know that sounds old, that it sounds like your granny down the bingo, but I would call it a raffle. So I'll tell you what's going to happen tonight. And anyone that's watching tonight, this is the deal. This is what we're going to do. Tonight, if you purchase 100 block and send it to that wallet, that is the Block Asset official wallet, you will be in the chance of winning this highly sought after Smash Brothers Till NFT. Woo-hoo! Look at that baby right there.
Nice.
Absolutely unreal. It has to be, I just have to reiterate though, it has to be a fresh purchase of block. It can't be block you've currently got in your wallet. It needs to be a fresh purchase of block. You send 100 block to the wallet, then you enter the competition, you enter the raffle to be able to chance of winning this Darren Till NFT. This bad boy, super cool, man. This is ranked number 14 on the entire Smash Brothers Till NFT collection. And also, you can enter as many times as you like. You know, if you buy 500 block, send it to that wallet, you basically get five entries. Each 100 block equals basically one raffle ticket. If you want five chances of winning, buy and send 500 block. That NFT is going to go tonight. Jump on that, get involved. And that's what we do, man. We give this stuff away. Listen, while I've got you on there, let's have a little bit of a chat because...
Wait a minute. Threw me here, but- Dosbrack, if you're watching, make me into an NFT, son. I'm dressed for it, lad.
I don't know where you are. I can't work out whether you're at a club or you're picking rice. Jeez. Listen, while I've got you on, before I get a guest on, Len, let me ask you this, because obviously, I don't know whether you've seen it earlier. It looks like you're probably in a bar somewhere, but...
Clear me. I mean, go on.
Out in Saudi Arabia today, they officially announced Anthony Joshua, the rematch with Alexander Usyk. It will happen on August 20th in Saudi Arabia, in Jeddah. It's been the worst kept secret in all of boxing, but it was finally confirmed today. The date was confirmed. They had this incredibly formal fanfare press conference in Saudi Arabia. We also learned today that AJ has actually been working with his new head coach, Robert Garcia, since December. That's kind of new information. Where are we at with this fight? Because Usyk, obviously, he's motivated. Can AJ turn it around?
Yeah, of course he can turn it around, mate. I don't think anybody should be backing against or writing off. I think that's the better phrase, isn't it? Don't write off Anthony Joshua. He's got all the physical attributes to become the heavyweight champion of the world once again. Mm-hmm. It's whether he's got it between his ears. What's he believe? What's he genuinely think about himself? And the time of truth is going to come when that first bell goes on August the 20th, isn't it? All that work that he's doing with Robert Garcia, hopefully he's going to make him more aggressive. It's hopefully going to bring out the old AJ, the one that we all fell in love with, the knockout merchant, the wrecking machine. If that guy's there, then I give him half a chance. But in saying that, it makes him more vulnerable. Throwing threes and fours makes you more vulnerable. And when you're fighting a sniper like Alexander Usyk, you could end up walking onto one. If you're using a lot more aggression coming forward, then it's only going to take half as much power the other way coming back. And this guy's very, very accurate. So, of course, it gives him more opportunities to win and stop Alexander Usyk, but it also gives Alexander Usyk more chances to stop him. I think it's going to be a great fight, man. It's going to be a great fight. It's the heavyweight championship of the world. What's not to be excited about?
Yeah, absolutely. Listen, neither of them said too much today. Obviously, they're keeping the cards close to their chest. But we did have Usyk on the Block Party a couple of weeks ago. In fact, he was on episode one of the Block Party. If you fancy it, go back and have a look at that. It's on the YouTube channel. But let's just have a little bit of reminder what Usyk said to us in that episode.
Я могу отключаться от определенных вещей, которые мешают мне для достижения цели. Но то, что происходит сейчас у меня дома, это очень сильно будет меня мотивировать в зале и каждый день в своих тренировках, вставая утром рано, я мотивируюсь тем, что я должен помочь своим людям, своей стране порадоваться.
Just that seemed to be the theme today as well, not surprisingly, but that is an incredible motivator, isn't it? Because he could easily be back in the Ukraine defending his country. That was the ultimate, I don't even want to call it excuse, but a calling. But instead, the fact that he's taken this fight, he's taken it in front of the world's media, that for me means that Usyk's going to be motivated more than ever before, Adam. Is he still there? Is he turned? He's literally turned into an NFT. I think he literally is turned into an NFT. Can't even hear him now. His audio has gone off. But yeah, that was the key thing for me today, coming out of that media day with Usyk, is the fact that he's still talking about, obviously, Ukraine, what's going on in Ukraine. It's such a big thing for him. It's such a motivator that's keeping him, his eyes focused on that prize. And for me, that means AJ's got to overcome so much more than just than Alexander Usyk, the boxer. He's got to overcome Alexander Usyk, who's representing his home country on the biggest stage. And the last thing he wants to do is suffer a defeat on a stage like that. So are you back now, are you?
I think so, mate. Yeah, I apologise. I did hear you. Obviously, you couldn't hear me. I'm just intermittent, obviously, with the... With the Wi-Fi out here, it's a bit of a nightmare when you're ordering beers at the same time, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Nice. Okay.
But yeah, you're right. Regarding the motivation, you were talking about motivation and the things that are going on in his homeland, yeah? Absolutely. 100%. This is a very proud man. Look at the way that the Klitschko's have been speaking throughout the whole course of this period. Look at the attitude that Vasyl Lomachenko has shown during this whole period. He actually walked away from the opportunity to become the undisputed champion of the world because of the love that he has for his country and the love that he has for his nation. Alexander Usyk, of course, shares that same love, but he has an opportunity here with the heavyweight championship of the world where the whole world will stop. And this is what happens when you have a big unification like this. The whole world stops to watch, and they've got an opportunity to watch not only a fantastic fight, but also a guy that has an opportunity to send a message, positive message, political message, call it whatever you will, to the world. The world's watching. And Alexander Usyk will not want to miss that opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you think AJ's got to roll a dice early on? Do you think he's just got to go back to the old AJ and let his fists fly? Because surely he can't afford to try and... I think Robert Garcia mentioned it today at the presser, actually, that they got the tactics wrong the first time around. He said, I don't know why AJ tried to outbox him. That won't happen again. That's the noise we want to hear, isn't it? Because I think a lot of people realise that AJ trying to outbox Usyk was always going to be foolish. Why lose your size? That's his size advantage, his strength advantage, everything that made AJ the guy, the darling of the nation, the guy that sold out Wembley Stadium regularly, was his knockout ability, was his ability to just smash people to bits.
I just want to point out this is my wife's app, by the way. I'm going to lose it. There you go. You can have my bald head back for a second. You're right, mate. You're 100% right in what you're saying. It's easy for a lot of people to say, he's just got to shut the distance. He's got to get close to him. He's got to rough him up. He's got to do this. He's got to do that. Do you not think Usyk's seen all these things? We're talking about an elite amateur that's got an Olympic gold medal in his back pocket. And obviously now, as well as being the undisputed cruiserweight champion, he's the unified heavyweight champion. There's not many styles that he hasn't seen. His footwork, as many people that we've spoken to that have been in the ring with him, they all tell us his footwork is probably his best asset. The way that he masters that distance and controls that gap between the fighters. AJ's got to obviously put it on him. Of course he has. He's got to be more aggressive. He's got to shut that distance, but he's got to do it smart, man. If he's reckless, he's going to get taken out. There's no doubt about it, because as I said, the guy that he's fighting is a sniper. He doesn't just wing away. He's very accurate with his work. Very, very accurate with his work. But this tactic of changing trainer that will hopefully bring out a little bit more of the dog in Anthony Joshua gives him more of an opportunity. I'm still favouring Usyk. I'm not going to lie to the audience. I'm still favouring Usyk to win the fight. But I'd give Anthony Joshua more opportunity than I did in the first fight.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. It's going to be an absolute cracker. That was confirmed today. Just to reiterate, Usyk versus Joshua 2 is going down in Jeddah on August the 20th. If I'm not mistaken, it's actually the same night Leon Edwards takes on Kamaru Usman in Salt Lake City. So a huge night for fight fans in the UK. Now, I can see my first guest was with us a second ago, and now his camera has just gone off. Here he is now. So this is the moment where I can say, Adam, back to your pool party, because I've got a real guest on now to talk about real substance.
Okay. See you later.
See you, buddy. See you soon. As I teed up the start of the show, UFC Austin at the weekend was absolutely sensational. The best fight card of the year so far. Everyone on the card who got a finish also got a 50 grand bonus. And I'm delighted to say one of those gentlemen joins us right now, Mr. Phil Hawes. Welcome to the Block Party, sir, and congratulations on an incredible performance on Saturday night.
Hey, thank you. Thank you for having me. Glad to be here.
Mate, what a performance, Phil. You know, Derren Wynn is a tough son of a bitch. It looked at one stage that he just wasn't going to get out of there. But, mate, you put a beat down on that boy from the very first bell.
Yeah, I had to get out of there, you know. We don't get paid by rounds, so I'm trying to get out there as quick as possible.
Yeah. Listen, how much of the – because – I was there at MSG at the back end of last year when you yourself suffered a defeat. And then you were supposed to come back in February. You had a quick turnaround with Sam Alvey, I think it was. And then that fight fell off and then you were forced to wait another 4 months. How frustrating was it to have to carry that loss around when you thought you'd be able to put the record straight away?
Freak, bro. It was stressful for me, stressful for my pocketbook. I was hurting, but UFC came through this weekend, helped me out a lot financially and with my career and everything. But yeah, it was stressful just dealing with the injuries, you know. But it's the fight game, and I believe I'm a big believer in God, and things happen for a reason. And maybe God put me on hold, or put me on ice for a while, and let me shine June 18th like I did last weekend. So maybe, you know, looking at the bigger picture in retrospect, maybe everything worked out like it was supposed to.
Yeah.
But It got scary.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. Listen, heading into New York, you were on a 7-fight win streak and you were making this game look easy. Was there I know it's easy to say it now that you're back in the win column, but that loss, would you want to go, if you could go back in time, would you want to get rid of it? Or is that an important part of your journey to build on a loss like that to just bring you back down to earth maybe?
No, man, that loss really, to be honest, I never in my life thought I would lose in the octagon, you know what I mean? In the UFC cage, it just, my whole life, it just seemed like, boom, it was for this moment. And then when it happened, it was like, wait, what? I'm not indestructible? This is insane. And it takes you back to that drawing board. Like, and without that loss to Chris, you know, and Madison Square Garden, I don't think I would have performed so well like I did. Because like you said, Deron, he was tough. He didn't want to get out of there. But the experience I had with Chris, because Chris, I was piecing him up real nice, but he didn't get out of there. So just using that experience, like, okay, slow it down. You're not going to get this guy out of here in the first round. Translate it into that performance you guys seen last weekend. So I can't take back that loss. I don't want that loss because that's where it put me at now and gave me an amazing experience.
Yeah, absolutely. And with that now, as you say that, the comeback, if you like, on Saturday, the victory, the performance against Derren Wynn is made all the sweeter because it's kind of like, okay, you've answered questions now. You've been away. You've obviously had a little bit of soul searching to do, and you've come back a new and improved and even better version of Phil Hawes.
1,000%. Answer. I feel like I should answer any questions people had about me. You know what I mean? Glass chin, cardio. Wrestler, blah blah blah, you know, just answering questions, you know, not necessarily for the public, but for myself, you know, because that's you could, as an athlete, you know, you hear people, athletes getting slumped, so I'm gonna slump them. Oh, if I lose one more, I feel like people forget, like, you get to UFC and you think everything's gonna be, you know, roses, you know, but it's not. It's crazier. The pressure's higher. The fights are crazier. The fighters you go against are tougher than you expect. You know, you think you get to UFC, boom, you're going to be making Conor McGregor money and the gravy train and rehab painting night every night, but it's not like that, you know? It's tough. There's a lot more pressure. There's a lot more eyes. You lose the fight, you're memed up, and you might be on a cutting block, you know?
Yeah.
The chopping block the next weekend. So it's stressful, but I'm so blessed to be here. And can't wait to keep it going.
Yeah, absolutely. That 50 G's bonus as well, that's going to come in handy, I'm sure.
Yeah. That's why I was scrolling, looking at Tesla is what one I'm going to get.
Why not, man? Enjoy it. Enjoy it.
I will, brother. Thank you. Maybe
listen,
some blocks.
That's it. Yeah, why not? Exactly. Yeah. Listen, tell me about that, Matt. at Sanford MMA because, you know, you're a guy that's trained at some of the best gyms in the world. You're at Sanford now. I think, you'd be pretty off track if you didn't realize that that's probably the hottest mat on the planet right now. There's so much talent on now mats at Sanford MMA. What's that like going to work there every day, grinding there with the talent that Henry Hooft's got on in that gym?
Man, like you said, there's so much talent at the gym, you know, under the watchful eye of Henry Hooft, you know, cleaning out the striking. I work with a guy, boxing coach, Dieter. I work on my guys helping with my elbows a lot this fight. His name's Jim Starr's Instagram, blah, blah, blah. His Dorian Price is my buddy, my best bud. Man, but there's so many guys on the mat. Like, I know that's going to give me the confidence to face whoever in the cage. We got Brandon Allen. We got Tuco. We got Robbie Lawler. We were just talking today, but just getting some insight. Nate Marquardt. Usman's there picking his brain. Jared Mearshark was there earlier today. I was talking to him a little bit. Gilbert Burns is always there, you know. He's the captain of the team, really. Man, there's so many guys. Ian Gary. Man, so many guys. Danny Hot Chocolate comes through. Yeah.
Yeah, man. He's my boy. He's from my hometown, Danny.
I can hear it. Yeah.
Yeah. That's why you understand me so well, probably spending time with Danny. Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
But that's the beauty of that mat, though. You know, you've got Ian Gary to your right, and you may have Robbie Lawler to your left, Nate Marquardt to your left, your pioneers of the game. And then young studs like you are obviously trying to come through and aspire to achieve what they've achieved. Must be unbelievable.
Yeah, 100%. Like, you're right in the mix. You see the icons and the legends in the game still in the game. And then you see the, what would you call him, a prospect? Because he's more than a prospect, you know what I mean? But, like, you see the up-and-comer, the future stars. It's like, you know, where can I get in? Let me get in. There's so much talent on this mat, you know? So I'm definitely blessed to be where I'm at.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Absolutely. I want to ask you about one legend, obviously, at the weekend that you almost tried to pick a fight with. What went down there with DC? A bit of miscommunication, was it?
So DC, I've been watching DC for a while. I was a training partner for John Jones years ago, you know what I mean? Like, we're like neck and neck, always training, boom. How could you not love John, you know? Definitely he's the reason why I got into the sport. He's the reason why I started training in New Mexico. And I helped him for a few fights for his first fight against DC or something. Like, I would study DC and take his techniques to try to use him against John, this and that. So after a while, I started picking up on DC's, like, techniques and started using them because I liked them because they were so good and great. Long story short, years down the road, I'm still a fan of DC after seeing what he did. You know, two-time world champ, great dude. Everyone loves him. My manager at the time, Danny Ruby, gets me a dinner with DC, me, him, DC, and he's DC, of course, he's a cool dude. He's showing me techniques at the wrestling, at the table, wrestling, boom. He's showing me, hey, come to AKA, train. I'm like, oh, shit, I get to train one of the best in the world. This is going to be awesome. Then a couple months, maybe 2 months later, a month later, I hear that I'm signed up to fight Deron Wynn, which is his protege, you know? Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'm like, huh. That's weird. I thought we were cool, but now you're telling your boy to fight me. And the way, you know how MMA works sometimes, like, you pick a fight that looks good on paper. You're like, okay, I could beat this guy here. So yeah. To me, you take that, like, you look at me lightly and think I'm an easy fight. So, emotions were high. I just, had a great performance and I wanted to talk to him. I didn't get to talk to him about it. And I guess I picked the wrong place, wrong time, but I got to talk to him a little bit.
I like it though, man. I like the fact that you were prickly in that moment because you're right to think like that. Why would DC put him in the octagon with you if he didn't think he could beat you? So what a motivator that is for you to go, okay, you want to put your boy in with me? You wait and see what happens. And that's what he got.
Yeah, exactly right. Thank you. Thank you so much for my team. Thank you, my guy. My guy.
Let me ask you a question about, You touched on it earlier about this journey in MMA and how tough it is. And, people think it's all Lamborghini super yachts and, your own drink brand and everything else. But you know yourself, you're on the front line, you're on the grind end of it. What advice would you give to a younger fighter who's got maybe not in the UFC yet, but is starting out in their career similar to you were, got aspirations? What are the best bits of advice you could pass to them?
There's two things. One thing I could say is, of course, everyone's different. You know what I mean? You could get to the UFC, be 5-0, and just kill it, maybe win the title on your 10th fight. You know, everyone's different. But me personally, I would say take your time. Don't get in there too young because you're going to be fighting men. You know what I mean? And, you know, as a man, you know, there's different strengths. There's different one. I don't think there's a 19-year-old kid that's going to beat me right now. Like, I'm in my man strength. I got my prime, like, experience-wise, you know. So just be careful getting in too fast. I feel like people try to rush the process too much, you know. That's one thing I would say. Get experience. You know, take your time. Make sure you have a good team around you to make sure they're not pushing you too fast. And also another thing is make the days count, you know. Before the fight, you hear DC commentating about, oh, I could be the greatest, blah, 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 you know. But the reason why people are saying that is because I made the days count when I was a 19-year-old or 21-year-old kid. Like, I was always training, always perfecting my craft, always trying to get better because I knew this day would come. Now I'm 33. Mm-hmm. And I got that money in the bank. Like, no one's just going to take me down and submit me because I put all that work in my jiu-jitsu way back when. So just make sure the days count and, you know, be a full martial artist, you know, and make sure the days count. Like, you know. Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Of course. No, I totally get it. Listen, I've got to ask you as well because, you know, you make people like me with a dad bod, you put me to shame with you're just an absolute specimen. Why was it wrestling? Why was it MMA? Why not like a football career with the frame that you've got? Why is it you came down probably the toughest sport in the road route when you could have maybe been in the NFL?
Yeah,
surrounded by gold chains and money.
Yeah, there's still time. I wrestled in high school, and it really took a liking to it. You know what I mean? It's an individual sport, and I just like that competitive nature it brings out to you. It really showed me what you put in is what you get out. You know, and that's a life lesson you don't get anywhere else. You know, and I just fell in love with it, man. And it translated to fighting. You know, which is similar but very different. I just fell in love with wrestling, and then it transpired to fighting, which is kind of really opposite of me. I've never been in a street fight, you know, but now I'm fighting on the biggest stage in front of hundreds of thousands of people for fun. So it introduced me to a new side of me that I didn't know was there. So I'm happy.
Excellent. One final thing before I let you go. Another side of you, which I hear you talking about a lot, is your faith. You know, you've got a lot of faith. I presume you're a Christian.
Yeah, yeah.
What role does that play in your life, in your sport and career? Because I know quite a lot of Brazilian fighters who've got a strong faith, and they believe that their path is set out before them, and they're just basically doing what God wanted them to do. And if they lose, hey, it's God's plan. And if they win, hey, it's God's plan. All I can do is work, turn up, and do the best I can. Have you got a similar mentality? And how do you use faith to keep you on track with your career?
Before we go deep in this, I just want to say, people say, oh, because they hear I go to church a lot, blah, blah, blah. The reason I go to church a lot is because your boy be sinning. So don't put me on a pedestal thinking, you know what I mean? Like, so I just, you know, I'm with God, he's a guy, but like, you're gonna just watch my IG, like, you know what's up. Like, you know. But that said, I love Jesus, of course, but I'm human sometimes, you know. But my faith helps me a lot. It just keeps me stable. Like I said, I'm out here living life sometimes. I live life, but it's my home, it's my staple. So I don't get too crazy, too manic. It always brings me back, like, okay, let's get our pieces right. You know what I mean? Like, someone's watching you, someone's trying to make sure you're doing right and things like that. But with that being said, I don't like really saying like, oh, I'm gonna train my best, blah, 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 is gonna be what's gonna be. To an extent, I get that, but that kind of gives me some of that, it's whatever I might lose mentality. And you know, me, I'm not, you know, as a competitor, you don't really want to, loss doesn't want to come to your mindset, you know what I mean? So yes, I believe everything's in God's hands, of course. And I'm gonna do what the best I can to prepare for my fight, but I feel like I have more say than the typical response like, oh, okay, it's out of my hands, blah, 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 you know? So. Yeah.
Absolutely, man. Well, listen, whoever is guiding your career, whether it's yourself, your management, a little bit from God as well, yeah. Cannot wait to see you back out there again soon. Mate, on a weekend, absolutely littered with highlights, you dropped one of the biggest highlights of them all. So congratulations. Enjoy that 50 Gs. Can't wait to see your new Tesla. And hopefully we'll see you soon on Block Party.
Hey, thank you, brother. Thank you.
Cheers, Phil. Lovely, man. What a performance. Is Adam still knocking about over in Spain? Is he at the bar? Here he is. Here he is, still about, pal. I don't know if you caught any of that.
Yeah.
With Phil there, of course. Mega. What a performance he put in. You know, that stoppage of dead and win. But let's be honest, that was early on the prelims. That card at the weekend, we spent weeks saying UFC London will never be topped from back in March. Best event the UFC will do this year. I think UFC Austin might have topped, don't they?
Fans, mate, innit? Fans just give you that extra 10, 15%. We've been starved of it for the last 3 years with everything that's been going on with COVID. I know that the Apex has served a massive savior for the UFC. It kept the show on the road, but there's nothing better than taking this fantastic show and putting it in local places on local times. And obviously a few local fighters. We saw Adrian Yanez, didn't we, on this card at the weekend, who was a local guy doing his thing. And it just brings out this extra 10, 15% in everybody. It was a sensational, sensational card. Can I just add one? Brilliant interview. You're actually quite good at this, Nicholas. Well done. Secondly, I kind of like this format of the show where I just, you know, in between bit, just clear off for a beer, come back. Yeah, man. I like to watch it. I'm feeling a little bit like Nip, you know, and the guys from the community who get to just watch the program, consume the program. This is actually, it's actually a good program. When you're in the middle of it, you kind of forget that, don't you? It's quite, there I am.
Oh, yeah, there's your hat. Where's your hat? Get your hat back on. Look at that, homage to Khamzat.
There you go, you see.
I love it.
That's the
that card in Austin, absolutely unbelievable. And obviously, delighted to say we're going to have another guest quite shortly, but coming up shortly from there, another performance of the night bonus winner. But two contentious moments as well. We'll come back to our mate Guram a little bit later in the show because I want to dig holes in that. But even the main event, you know, Josh Emmett's got a somewhat controversial split decision victory over Calvin Kattar. Me and you dove on our podcast on Monday and really dug the tooth and nail out of it to get to the bottom. We both actually agreed that Kattar should have won that. But why are we still getting then, do you believe, moments in MMA, contentious decisions, when MMA's got the one thing boxing hasn't? And that's a Ten Commandments set in stone rule set on how to score a fight. And yet we still have decisions that a lot of people would consider contentious, as I say.
No, nothing's perfect, is it? But we're like, obviously, we follow boxing a lot and we're crying out for unified scoring, unified rules criteria, which will enable fans, enable fighters, corners to hold judging to account. That's all we want. And mixed martial arts has got that. And of course, at the weekend, in the main event, me and you both disagree. I actually went back and took your advice and watched that first round once again, which I scored to Josh Emmett initially. But I can see how you got to a point of scoring that towards Calvin Kattar. I can see 4-1 for Kattar. I still kind of am swaying towards 3-2 towards Kattar. Obviously, he didn't end up getting the decision in the end. I think what we do find, especially when the UFC goes on the road to various places around the world, that there are certain judges, certain people that are dragged in to score fights that are necessarily mixed martial arts specialists. You get still people from boxing athletic commissions, don't you, coming in and they're watching stuff and maybe they've still got a little bit of that mentality of it's what you like. I think 90 to 95% of the time, the judges get it right as per the unified rules criteria. I think more education needs to be on broadcasting. More education has to be within fan bases, therefore we can understand what people are working towards. It isn't what you like. It is a set rules criteria. We are working towards a Ten Commandments, as we say. And I think 90 to 95% of the time, they get it right. I disagree with the scoring of round four by one judge. That's all I'm saying. One round by one judge at the weekend, in my opinion, got it wrong, and that fight should have gone the other way. That's how slim a margin it is. That we experienced at the weekend.
Yeah, absolutely. I think one of the people that also stole the show at the weekend was Kevin Holland, the welterweight. Kevin Holland, the welterweight, man. Jesus yeah, man. Christ. He must be about 3% body fat. He reminds me of a jockey. Absolutely nothing on him whatsoever.
Listen,
but when he gets in there, he's the old Kevin Holland. He's acting, nah, he's chatting, he's enjoying himself.
Listen, never mind Kevin Holland in the octagon. We want to be following around. Bokas it here now. Lads, I know you're obviously in the back room there keeping this show on the road whilst I'm putting myself out here, but we need to be following Kevin Holland around with a camera. This dude is a real-life superhero. Wherever he goes, crimes are committed. And this is a man that is putting these crimes on the front map and stopping these guys in their tracks, whether they be robbing shops, whether they be committing certain felonies. And they're not all happening in his town. They're not all happening on his street. Wherever he goes, there is crime, and he will find it. That's what we need to be following, man. That's the documentary. Never mind how good he is a mixed martial artist and slipping dash jokes in every now and again and getting fantastic victories as he did at the weekend. Forget that. Follow him with your camera, lads. Let's find some real-life crime because he's a real-life superhero, that dude.
Mad, isn't it? I think that's the fourth time that's been recorded now that he's actually chased down a purse snatcher or a car thief or whatever. It's mad.
Mate, he did that on weighing day. He's just weighed in. He'd gone to go and get some water from, I think it was a petrol station, a gas station, as you would say in the States. Someone's like holding the gas station up, and he chases him down the street. You're fighting tomorrow, Kev. You fight, mate. You're fighting tomorrow. Nah, it's all right, man. We've got business to take care of. He's out there doing all Marvel stuff.
Yeah, man. Absolutely. And you know what? Kevin Hot, Joaquin Buckley again, mate. The dude's just got incredibly heavy hands, incredibly heavy kicks. Obviously, shots of fame with that wheel kick, spinning, crazy ninja move knockout, that one knockout of the year a couple of years ago. But he's still doing it, man. He's still smashing people up. And Albert Duraev at the weekend, literally cheekbone, orbital, smashed to bits, couldn't continue. He's a real problem, man. If he hits anybody, Buckley, in that weight class, they're going to know about it.
The thing I like about it, and you've kind of just touched upon it with Phil Hall there a minute ago, because in his matchup, obviously there's that element of him thinking, you cheeky so-and-so matching me up with him. You think I'm a soft touch? That's where we were at with this fight, because Buckley and Duraev used to be teammates, used to be mates, but they still are mates. But they teamed each other up, didn't they? And then when the fight ended up getting made, they started gobbing off, and Duraev said, this is a walk in the park. I've shared mat time with this guy. I know how easy this is going to be. And obviously, Joaquin's like, you cheeky so-and-so, shouldn't say, and I'm going to show you what the crack is. And he absolutely showed him what the crack is. He lit him up from start to finish. He was absolutely fantastic. I actually thought he was this performance is his best performance in the UFC, much more than just that raw power. He's much more than a highlight, which he gave us a couple of years back, didn't he, with that brilliant knockout of the year, that spinning wheel kick thing, superb still. But I thought he was absolutely brilliant. And that is how you deal with being classed, I suppose, as an underdog or being mugged off a little bit. That's how you deal with it. Okay, you don't need to chat whatever you need to chat. You need, when the door shuts, you need to go and put manners on somebody. And he absolutely put manners on Duraev. Well, and it's his best win so far in the UFC by a country man.
Yeah, man, absolutely. Listen, I'm going to let you duck out again back to the bar because I'm delighted to say my next guest is ready to join
Wait a minute.
Us now.
Two pina coladas, please, mate. Yeah, I'll be back in a bit, Nick. See you in a bit.
Talking about people lighting up the show at UFC Austin. Again, man, if you haven't seen UFC Austin, do yourself a favor. Get back onto your planner. Replay it, especially that main card. We've just touched on most of the fights there. We deliberately circumnavigated Gurram. I want to talk about that a little bit later in the show. But delighted to say the knockout, potentially the performance of the night, belong to this guy, my next guest. Delighted to say Gregory Rodriguez joins the block party right now. And sir, on a night filled with highlight reel moments, your performance was numero uno for me. Congratulations.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Nick. Man, I'm so happy, bro. Like, I didn't expect a violent knockout like that. Because I know Julian is a very tough opponent. I always like it. I keep in my head something when I was prepared for a fight. Always I wait for the best and any opponents I will pick it up. And that's how it was a weight in there. But since I stepped and started the fight, I saw him like came, he kicked my calf, and I said, man, that's not what I expected for. I think I'm going to kill this guy. And that happened. But I was like very confident. I prepared so well for this fight with my whole team. Phil was by my side in this journey, prepared for the fight and in Austin, and yeah, we made it, bro. So I'm so happy, and you know, it's an incredible feeling now.
You fought at Julian Marquez, notorious tough guy, as he proved at the weekend, incredible chin, but you beat him at his own game. You went in that octagon, you went toe to toe, and you said, "You think you're tough? Let's see if you can take what I'm going to dish out." That was unbelievable. Was that the game plan going in? Or did you just kind of think, you know what? I'm enjoying this. Let's go. Let's bang.
No. Like, no, I was very confident what I need to do on the fight. And I know Julian's a very dangerous guy. I beat some tough opponents. And I want to be the competitive guy, you know. I can fight on top. I can fight on the ground. My background always was jiu-jitsu. I fought jiu-jitsu since, like, I'm 5 years old. And for all my life, always competed the world. I get a world champion on my purple belt. And, but always I said, like, MMA is a different sport. It's completely different for everything. So before it was a vale tudo. Yeah, back in the days, you know, you get a guy's karate style against wrestlers, against jiu-jitsu fighter. So now, man, everybody in that cage is good in everywhere, all the areas. The guy can fight on top. You see, like, Rodolfo Vieira can tap, you know, the highest name in jiu-jitsu. For me, one of the best at all, in all time. He can tap in jiu-jitsu. So Glover Teixeira, he tapped for a guy, you know, not a jiu-jitsu fighter. So MMA is completely different, bro. You need, I keep that on my head. Oh, okay, I'm a jiu-jitsu fighter. No. But I need to improve myself in everything. So I love boxing. I train boxing a lot. And I know what my hands can do it. And for this fight, my game plan was, man, on the first round, you know, I'm going to take my time. I'm going to keep the distance, make my distance, and maybe take choking down. I saw some fights, the guy choking down and working a little bit my jiu-jitsu. I know his jiu-jitsu is good, too. But when my hand touched on him and I fell, and then I said, man, I jumped in his back. And then, like I said, I don't need to do that, man. I'm get out of here, and I can't fight with my hands. But, I mean, it's not a personal, you know. I love Julian. He sent a message. He texted me after fight. I hope the best for him. He get back. He's strong. You know, it's not – I never fall like it's a personal. I never – you know, I'm like – I think my nickname Robocop is good for that, because when I go inside the cage, I'm like a machine. My coach make the program, and you need to do this and that for the win, and that's it. I will put in my game on that. I give you everything inside the cage, and after that, is okay. But yes, bro, like I said, for me, that was one of the best camp I did. And I showed it. I proved that in the cage on Saturday night.
It was a sensational performance. And I remember talking in the aftermath, and I said, I can't believe how good your hands are. I cannot believe how good your boxing is. For somebody that's done jiu-jitsu their entire life and, you know, 7 national titles, world titles, you know, succeeded so much in the world of jiu-jitsu, that only came to MMA 8 years ago, I think you started MMA. Competitively,
yeah.
So how have you got your boxing to such a high level that it is now? Is it, did you box when you were younger as well, or is it just something you really enjoy?
Like I said, I started my journey on this sport since my 5 years. My dad was a capoeira master. And then I started in the capoeira, go jiu-jitsu. And Jacare, at the time, I was kid. Like, he was, when I get in the gym, he was the Jacare, the Ronaldo Souza. He was like just like a purple belt at the gym at the time. And then I saw when he started fighting MMA, started training box at the gym. He fought, he made his debut on Jungle Fight, and it was the same I did. And then, and our coach, Enrique Machado, he started the program, the MMA program at the gym. And then, and for me, like, my dad was a MMA lover. He, all the VA, how can
VHS
I
say? VHS tapes.
Yeah, like old tapes for the first, you know, like the UFC one. I remember, like, I was very young with my friends. We go, they went to my house, and we keep like the whole night, wake up for watching Pride at the time. And it was funny. So I knew that my journey, my my life was going this way.
Yeah.
With my 12, 13 years old, I started the boxing and wrestling at the same time. I started competing in wrestling. I tried to compete in boxing, but I couldn't. And then when I moved to Rio de Janeiro 2014, I started my MMA career on X Gym. Jacare was there. He invited me to come. And Josué Destaque, it's one amazing boxing coach. There was the head coach and the ex-gym and the at time. And I was trying to box him like for many, many years. And then, but, improving myself, start fighting, start training. I trained for so many different people around the world. I went in the Pedro Rizzo team. He teach me a lot of stuff. And then I moved to California. Was in the Black House with Anderson, mm-hmm. all these guys. And then I went to King's MMA with Master Rafael Cordeiro. It's unbelievable, you know, the striking game. So now I'm in the Sanford, so Henry Hoof and so many guys. Daniel Mendes is one guy, helped me a lot. So, bro, like, I just got all my experience. I'm a guy, you know, I'm not... One thing I thank God every night for, and I ask him to give me, it's humble. Be humble, you know. I know you have something to teach me, you know, and I can teach him for anybody and everywhere. And I'm a guy like that. I like it to learn. I like it to see. I like to try something different, you know. And then, and I can, you know, add it in my life, added in my professional career. And I think I'm a guy like that, and I was building like that, and I'm here right now.
Yeah, man, absolutely, you're here right now. And you've done the one thing that a lot of specialists, you've kind of come away from the jiu-jitsu game. You're not famous for your jiu-jitsu anymore in MMA. You're famous for knocking dudes out. It's crazy. And you've got this whole jiu-jitsu game that we don't really get to see anymore because you don't need to, because you just get in there and give the fans what they want.
It's crazy, bro. I had a friend, he loved to bet, right? And then he always put money on the submission because he make more money, because everyone think I'm like a striking guy. And he said, man, he called me, I'm going to stop, man, back on the submissions. You're never going to submit this. I said, no, bro, I will do it. No, when you do it, you call me before the fight, and then you tell me, no, this guy, I'm going to submit it. But, yeah, bro, like, I'm going away, you know, I'm stretched, of course. I need to stretch it. So if I know that fight, that was my mistake in my last fight before Julian with the Petrosian. Mm-hmm. I couldn't, like, you know, putting him to the ground on the first or second round and working a little bit more my jiu-jitsu, and then I didn't. You know, I always test myself on top with a world Muay Thai champion.
Yeah.
And anyways, bro, like, I need learning that, you know, always, oh man, this guy, I can go in this way. I have weapons to fight him on the ground. I have weapons to fight him on par. Weapons to go in the distance and then, you know, score the for win by decision. And that's the game, man. We need to play the game, you know, yeah. And that's what we need to do always, always.
Listen, it was a huge statement performance. I don't think there's many people in the middleweight division that will be putting their hands up to take on you anytime soon. I know that top 15 ranking has got to be in your sights, certainly for early next year. And listen, enjoy your 50 Gs as well. I know that will come in handy, I'm sure.
Thank you, man. God's great, bro. I have a baby coming up for October, my baby girl, Serena. My wife. Man, we are so happy. So now I have this bonus to buy some extra wipes.
Buy some diapers.
But man, like I'm so grateful for, you know, the time I live in my life, and thank you guys, man, for always supporting us. You know, all the fans, and I love cryptos as well. And I'm going in this world. I know that the world's changing now, and but I'm so happy, man. And thank you for inviting me. I want to just say thank you for all my team. Same for Daniel. IHP, it's a place I do my conditional workouts. Amazing place that changed my game for this fight. Durinho invited me to join that, and that's why I said I'm the best shape ever. And I want to say a big thanks, a big hug to them. And thank you, Nick. No, I appreciate it, guys. I appreciate all the things. And it's a pleasure for me. And I will be here wherever you guys want.
Gregory, absolute pleasure. Once again, congratulations. Thrilling performance at the weekend. And you know what? It's made even sweeter when you get to speak to someone like yourself and you find out that you're an absolute diamond of a guy as well. So can't wait to see you back inside the Octagon soon.
Appreciate it, brother.
Take care, my friend.
Take care, bye.
What a performance, eh? Gregory Rodriguez, isn't that boss? Isn't it boss when that's the first time I've spoke to RoboCop, wicked name, by the way. First time I spoke to him. I love it when you get to speak to fighters and they're that guy, that they're humble, they're just so given, clearly a family man on his own journey. And I tell you what, the jiu-jitsu credentials he's got stack up with anybody in the UFC and knows hands. I'm telling you, I watch a lot of boxing. That footwork, the hand selection, the uppercuts he was picking off Marquez with, that guy is 100% legit. Let's see if Adam's still sober by the pool. Here he is. You're looking a bit rosy there, pal. You had a couple. Put a couple of shandies away.
Might have done.
Look at you. You're a pig in shit today, aren't you, Sunshine? You enjoyed that one. What a lovely fella. What a top guy he is. Yeah.
Absolutely tremendous, and I love it when you meet people like that for the first time. People who you admire as athletes, and then they turn out to be absolute diamonds. And we've had two of them on the show already. We know we've got an absolute creme de la creme pay-per-view star diamond coming up very shortly. But before we get Street Jesus on, which I know is the only reason why you've joined the show tonight, you couldn't have it. You couldn't let me have a moment alone with Jorge Masvidal because he's your bezzy. You will. I want to be there. I need to speak to my mate Jorge.
No comment.
Yeah, exactly. No comment to be. Before we get him on, we've been teeing this up all night, and obviously people who watch Block Party every week will be fully aware of Guram Kutaladze. He was on the show a couple of weeks ago. This is a sensational documentary made by the team here at Block Asset, which is available now on Block Asset's YouTube. It was in cinemas in Georgia, and it was then on state television in Georgia as well. I've heard of his fight at the weekend. He obviously had his fight at the weekend. Brilliant fight against Demir. It was always going to be a tough fight because Demir's class as well. Two high-level lightweights with absolute potential to become champion. But Guram wins the first round. Okay, I think Demir wins the second round. But then the third round is hit by a contentious decision, Adam, which I think changed the flow and the outcome of the fight.
Yeah, it's tough, isn't it? This is when mixed martial arts is tough because, as you rightfully said, it was high quality from both men. During the fight, I remember tweeting saying, this is high skill, hard as nails, the pair of them. They were both taking damage. They were both dishing out damage. That first round, I completely agree with the first 5 minutes I gave to Gurram. I'm not saying it's a landslide by any stretch of the imagination. It's a very close round, but I think he has the more clean, effective work. And this is where the unified rules is brilliant, because we have a mantra there that we're all working towards. And Gurram, according to the unified rules, wins that first 5 minute period. I think he's edged out in the second 5 minutes. I really do. I think Ismagulov came back and he was absolutely fantastic. The third was so close, man. And the third was so close right up until the final 30 seconds of that round. And in that final 30 seconds, we saw Gurram take the initiative. We saw him with that clean, effective work dish out a fantastic knee strike to the chest area of Ismagulov, which obviously rocked him, knocked him back, put him on his backside. And therefore, you would have thought in that final 30 seconds of the round, there was going to be some type of onslaught where you would have imagined, I know that we're all, this is hypothetical now because it never played out, where you could imagine that there would be clean, effective work dished out by Gurram. And therefore, then you would have probably awarded that final round to Gurram, and therefore he would have taken that fight 29-28. However, sadly, the referee in the moment, Herb Dean, missed it. He called the moment wrong. He said that it was an illegal strike and therefore the action stopped. And then the momentum shifted. That final 20, 30 seconds that ended up playing out after the delay shifted towards Ismagulov. And that's maybe what nicked him out. I thought the scoring was all over. I mean, we heard when the scoring came out, 28-28, which I thought was absolutely nonsense. Did some judge take a point off when the point wasn't even taken off? That seemed a little bit weird. We had a 29-28 in there as well the other way. 30-27 just didn't happen. I'm sorry. 30-27 just didn't happen because Gurram most certainly takes the first round. 29-28 is fair given what actually played out. But because of the refereeing error at the end of the third, I think Gurram was very hard done by. Run it back, man. Run it back. Let's go again.
Yeah, I think the UFC could and should run that back, and it'd be super successful. Just a reminder there for anyone that just joining the show, just interject for a second. That QR code right there is for the Block Asset Wallet. What we are asking you to do tonight is buy 100 Block, not out of your wallet, buy 100 Flesh Block, send it to that wallet, and for 100 Block, you will get a raffle ticket to win an exclusive Smash Brothers Darren Till NFT. There it is right there. You will win that one, ranked number 14 on the Smash Brothers NFT collectors list. Much sought after, man. I would absolutely love that one. It's wicked. You can't quite see it there, but he's holding like an AK-47 as well. It's sweet. So again, buy 100 Block, send it to that wallet there. You can also find the wallet ID in the comments down below. Just on the Gurram thing, because I want to just give you a bit of an update, because I had a conversation with a mutual friend of ours who's an official who judges UFC contests. In fact, he judges MMA all over the world on a weekly basis. Because we had a conversation on Monday on our podcast, our Fight Disciples podcast, where we talked about whether or not Herb Deeb making a mistake, because he never took a point off Herb Deeb. He pulled the two fighters apart. He said, you've kneed him in the face. It's a foul. Watch it, be careful, bum, and reset. And the conversation we had was along the lines of, because the judges can see on the replay that Herb's made a mistake, do they overlook that and therefore look at the fact that Gurram's landed the knee to the chest? He was in a real advantageous position. The referees made a mistake to separate them. So what I'll do is I'll overlook the referee's mistake and I will take into account the great move by Gurram that would potentially have swung a lot of the judges. Now, I was corrected on that, because it's not up to the judge to decide whether something is a foul or not, even if he's got the advantage of video replay. If the referee gives it, if the referee says it was a foul, then it's a foul. The judge cannot, in his mind, go, well, the ref's made a mistake there, so I'm not going to give that as a foul, which I thought would have been the most logical thing. The judges aren't allowed to do that. Even if they can see a foul and the referee misses it and then go, oh, no, that was a foul there. The referee, doesn't matter. It's up to the referee. Only the referee can decide whether something is a foul or not. And even if you think it isn't, or even if you know it isn't, it's not up to the judges to change their scorecards to fit what they see. They've got to abide by what the referee says. And I think that decision then ultimately, well, the scorecard suggests it, have costed Gurram the victory there.
Yeah, I agree with that interpretation from the person that you spoke to. And it just reiterates the fact that obviously a referee and error then cost Guram the fight because the judges couldn't do anything else. They had to act on what the referee did, Dean, on this occasion. I think the only fair thing, and I really hope that the UFC hierarchy, the people that are doing the matchmaking, look at it and they go, listen, that is a key instance in the fight, which then changes the trajectory of the fight. It was going one way. That moment has changed it and it's gone now the other way. Run it back. How many fans would love to see that again? It was a fantastic, high-level, high-skilled, high-risk fight. Two blokes going at it, dishing out fantastic mixed martial arts, proper mixed martial arts. That was a mixed martial arts contest. Let's go again. I'm game for that being a main event somewhere, man. Give them 25 minutes. Mm-hmm. Give them 25 minutes on a fight night and let's see who the best of the best is. What a great fight that is. Guram versus Ismagulov. What a start for Guram, by the way, in the UFC. You've given him Gamrot, who, by the way, was in action this weekend coming. He beat him, and then you throw him straight in with Ismagulov. Baptism of fire, man.
Absolutely insane, but it just shows how the high level that he's at. In fact, the high level that all three of them are at, you know, we talk about it a lot, about which weight division is the strongest. Lightweight division in the UFC is ridiculous because it's not just got a really strong top 15. The top 30 or 40 are ridiculous. I truly believe Ismagulov could fight for the lightweight title now. I truly believe Guram could fight for the lightweight title now. I truly believe there's so many of these guys coming through, Fiziev and all these kind of people who aren't within touching distance yet. And you can just see it's this next golden generation coming through. And at lightweight, they just seem to be absolutely everywhere, everywhere. Mm. I just want to make a quick note there as well to anyone regarding the competition tonight. And this is a really important point under current conditions in the old crypto world. And that is every one of those 100 block, which buys you a raffle ticket for that NFT, that block will be burnt. That block will be taken out of circulation. It will be burnt, which is great news for anyone in the crypto world. So don't worry about that. It's just about getting into the raffle. Once you've got it, let the lads know. Jump on the Discord. Let them know that you've entered the raffle. I'm sure they'll sort it all out. And as I say, the winner is going to be read out or picked at random, I should say, on the podcast on Thursday night. I'll remind you of that before the end of the show as well. We are just waiting for the main man himself, Mr. Game Bread, Mr. Street Jesus, Mr. BMF, Mr. Jorge Masvidal. Before he comes on, I want to ask you if you caught the basketball over the last few days, because something quite special went down at the weekend, or during the week, I should say, when the Golden State Warriors won their fourth NBA title, beating my team, unfortunately, the Celtics. But more
Why
than that,
are you a
it
Celtics
was...
fan?
Why am I a Celtics fan?
Larry Bird?
I played for a team called Ash Celtic when I was a kid, so I've always liked the name Celtic. I've always liked the team Celtic. And then the beauty of being a Brit is you just get to choose, don't you? I'm a 49ers fan in the NFL. I'm a Celtics fan in the NBA. And obviously, you know, I don't care about baseball because it's as bad as cricket. But what I will say is, talking about basketball, talk about that performance. Don't know whether you caught it the weekend, but something quite special is happening at Golden State Warriors, or is happening. There's a real dynasty going on there. I'm talking Chicago Bulls kind of dynasty going on in that area. And Steph Curry stepped up. And, mate, that guy belongs in the GOAT conversation in that sport. He is absolutely incredible. I'm talking Bird, Johnson, Shaq, Kareem, LeBron, Jordan, of course. Steph Curry is at that table dining on the same food and drink. I'm telling you, the guy is a superstar.
I don't think I've seen him miss a 3-point throw, mate.
He doesn't.
He's good, isn't he?
He doesn't.
From distance, he's unbelievably good, that kid. Listen, I'm not going to profess to be the most avid basketball fan. I do enjoy watching it. I've got, obviously, family members that live in Toronto, so I keep an eye on the Raptors. Keep an eye on, when I was a kid growing up, it was all about the Chicago Bulls, wasn't it? It's all about Michael Jordan. So you kind of keep an eye on stuff. I find it a brilliant game to watch, sensational game to watch. And when it does get to playoff season, I do chip in every now and again because we're quite lucky here in the UK to have a decent broadcast deal, which keeps it across everything. But yeah, they were absolutely fantastic, mate. I think I only saw two of the games and he was just... Like he was dropping 3-point throws in there, and he wasn't even looking. He wasn't even staying to what the ball was still midair, and he turned round. He's throwing it up. The ball's on its way. He's right. I'll turn around and get back in my defensive position, ready to rock and roll for the next play. That's how good this guy is at what he does. I don't know enough about the sport. I'm going to be honest. I'm sure there's people watching our stream that could get involved in that GOAT conversation and whether he deserves to be in that GOAT conversation. I'm not going to say, listen, I know, but what I see, bloody hell, man, he's good.
Exactly. And what you see is exactly why he's in the GOAT conversation, because he's redefining what it is to score three-pointers. You know, he doesn't have to get to the paint. He's scoring three-pointers from mid-court. It's absolutely incredible. And it's going to change how basketball's played. Kids in high schools across the US are going to be training the same shots, are going to be training throwing three-pointers from that same kind of range. It's going to change how basketball's played. It's incredible what he's done. And then, of course, you know, and listen, we need to speak to the old block asset lawyers about this one, because his partnership with Klay Thompson, the Splash Brothers. Wait a minute. Whoa, whoa, whoa. The Splash Brothers. You know what I mean? There's got to be some kind of copyright infringement there, methinks. Or maybe it's the other way around, actually. Maybe we should just move on and not talk about that. But yeah, sensational performance. If you are a Golden State Warriors fan, I'm sure you're probably still pissed at the moment. I probably will get myself a Golden State Warriors shirt. I definitely want a Steph Curry shirt to go in my locker to sit next to me Jordan. So yeah, you'll see me in that soon this summer for show. If you just join us, where have you been, man? We've been rocking for an hour. We are waiting for the main event. Of course, the main event is going to keep us waiting, because that's what BMFs do. That's kind of what you expect from a BMF, isn't it? The BMF doesn't turn up on time. Otherwise, he wouldn't be the BMF, would he?
Wait till he turns up, mate. We're going to have words. Yeah. I could do that over the power of the internet. I'd never do that to his face. He could do what he wants. No, listen, he's my experiences with Jorge Masvidal, he's always on time, mate. So I don't think he'll be too late. He knows that we've got something special to obviously talk about. You say that I'm here for actually speaking to Jorge. Yeah, of course, that is one of the reasons. But what you're actually going to talk to him about is the reason why I'm here. Because I don't want, if there's any free stuff being knocked about by the block asset lads, I ain't going to be missing out on it. That's all I'm saying, man. I've come with the straw hat, and the lads have already sorted me out with a nice little Hamzat NFT. That's already in the wallet.
There it is.
That's all right. They've already sent it over to me, so I appreciate that, boys. Thank you very much. It's a little bit of a gift.
Unbelievable.
I might go and get dressed up in my Scarface outfit in a minute. I turn up for work.
I run the show. I do all the planning. I prep everything.
Done well.
And I don't get no gift NFT, and yet you rock up half cut,
El Capitan,
on your holidays. Unbelievable. Listen. And you say I get favoured. You say I get favoured by the team. Listen. Incredible. Last time we seen Jorge, was it New York? Was it Nate Diaz? Was that the last time we hung out with
when
Jorge?
When he fought?
Yeah.
When he fought? No, he fought Colby, didn't he?
Of course, yeah. No, I mean, the last time we were with him, was it New York? It may well have been.
Yes. Fight Island? Yeah, maybe. Mate, listen, all the parties with Jorge Masvidal just merge into one, mate. They're all in, they're all in the highlight reel. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, man. Have you still got that bottle of his liquor, by the way? What was it called? That crazy tequila type stuff. He'll kill me for saying tequila. It's not tequila, is it?
It's not tequila. It's mezcal. Come on. It's called mezcal. It's Recuerdo. Recuerdo is the brand. Mezcal is the type of drink, and it is like fire water. If you are of if you like tequila, because you are right to obviously take us down the tequila conversation. Mezcal is kind of related to it, family-wise. But this stuff is proper tackle, mate. This isn't like mess about stuff. You have a drink of this, let's just say your night's going to get a little bit lively. And the last time that we were having a proper one with Mr. Masvidal, it got a little bit lively drinking some of his branded mezcal. Yes, I do still have the bottle. The reason why I do still have the bottle is because I'm not brave enough to drink it by myself. There's nobody in and around my vicinity, And maybe, you know, we need to get the block asset lads over to Catterall Towers so we could all have a shot each. Because if you have more than a shot of this stuff, tell you something, your eyes are going sideways. It's proper stuff, isn't it?
I think only real men drink mezcal. That's the problem. Only real men. And I think us Brits, we're a bit soft, aren't we? You know, we can put the lager away easily enough, but when it comes to the proper spirits, it gets difficult.
One thing, yeah, but the thing is, one thing that Jorge did introduce you to that particular evening was Pacifico Clara, Mexican beer, of which you have fallen madly, deeply loved by, and that is now your favourite tipple.
Yeah, I've still got a case of it in the fridge, actually. They crack it on at Home and Bargains these days, and ridiculously, they sell it for next to nothing. But you're right, it is, man. It's the absolutely the best beer money can buy. And I've got Street Jesus himself, Mr. Masvidal, to thank. And one day I will thank him in person as well, because he did introduce me to Pacifico Clara. Oh, mate, just the thought of it. Just the thought of a Pacifico. I'm having one after this. I'll have to try and catch up with you. You're probably three or four in by now, but I'll try and catch up with you.
What's the situation? I can say, oh, hang on. What's going on
here? Here he is. Speak of the devil, he shall appear.
What's going on here now?
Is this Jorge?
I can see a dark camera. Do you know what he's doing? He's doing the big theatrical thing. This is what Jorge does, right? He's thinking ring what? I'm not surprised if the Scarface music starts playing in a minute, right? That's what's going to happen.
Something's going on.
Just
I can hear him.
Yeah, we're just trying to sort his. Yeah, he's just trying to sort his signal out. Just trying to sort his connections. Therefore, he can come and join the show. Hopefully, we can get him on in a minute. But he's a drama, man. This is what it's all about. You got to get the drama on.
That's what Jorge's all about. As I say, man, he ain't BMF for nothing. This is why the UFC pay him the big bucks. This is why he's one of the biggest pay-per-view draws on the planet right now. It's because he creates atmosphere, man. He creates a moment. I'll tell you what, here he is. Yes. The main man himself.
Hey, there we go.
The original East Coast OG. I can't work out whether he's frozen. I couldn't work out then whether he was frozen or when he was just posing for a picture for a second. We will get Jorge at some point. We're going to try and figure that out. He's at home as well. Needs him to get on his Wi-Fi, I think. Needs to get his Wi-Fi sorted out. I can't believe your Wi-Fi is so good, actually. Poolside. Unbelievable.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And Block Asset lads have sorted me out. They kicked me out with a proper connection.
No doubt. Here's me excited because I've got a cap. You're getting all kinds.
Listen, what's the situation tonight regarding people obviously buying Block, man? I keep seeing the fire sale flashing up on the screen. People are obviously buying big. What's the situation with it?
Yeah, it's going really well from what I can see at the moment. The stats look through the roof. Obviously, we know what's on the line, that Darren Till limited edition, the ranked number 14 ranked Darren Till Smash Brothers NFT will be given away. Dead easy to enter. Buy 100 block, send it to that wallet right there. You can also get a link to it down in the comments below. Send it there. You will be then, that block will then be burnt, and you will be provided with a digital raffle ticket to be in with that. I think the lads are going to pick it out on tomorrow's podcast. I'm pretty sure it is tomorrow's Block Asset podcast. You'll see it on there. You're going to pick out a winner. That will be done by Rusty, yeah, on Wednesday night. And that's the NFT that is available. That is going to be given away. As I say, it's a bit dark, that screen, but Till is holding some machine gun there. He's obviously got the classic Dosbrack neckerchief across his face as well. Some of these Dosbrack NFTs are unbelievable, man. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Nice piece of kit, mate. Nice piece of kit.
So, yeah. There it is. Oh, what's going on? Oh, got myself a Hamzat. Yes. Thank you, boys. Thank you. Finally, Nick gets sorted out with something. You know, I am carrying the show on my own this evening.
Yeah.
Yeah, I've got myself. Oh, fantastic. Oh, that's it now. I'm done. Forget about Jorge. That's it. I'm done. Here he is. That's better.
How can you forget about Jorge? Here he is, man.
What's up?
Good to see you, Mr. Masvidal. How are you, sir?
Good, brothers. How you guys doing, huh?
Good,
well,
man.
Very well. Good. Listen, we've just been having a little bit of a reminisce about a night on the Mezcal. That's what we've just been speaking about, mate. We've been talking about.
No, I was hearing you. I was backstage. I was hearing everything you guys were saying. I was like, yeah, but you guys couldn't hear me, though. I don't know. They gave us one Wi-Fi, and it wasn't that good. Now this one seems to be, like, pretty good, you know.
We were just warning people. If anybody out there purchasing any Mezcal, obviously purchase Recuerdo. That's the one that you should be getting. But it should come with a warning, all right? Drink in moderation, kids, because that stuff sends your eyes in different directions every time you drink that stuff, all right? So just be careful.
That's how you're supposed to sip it. You get the warm saw, you get the orange, and you sip it. And you, like, you get a little warm saw, you get the orange, and you sip it. Or you can be like me and shoot it, you know, but then, you know.
Mate, we're not all BMFs, are we? We're not all BMFs.
I know. There you go. Exactly. Indeed. Jorge, before we ask you about you, where you are right now, what's coming next, everything else, first and foremost, man, I want to give you the stage because, of course, we have got the exclusive Jorge Masvidal NFT drop. It's ready to go. It's your stage, man. You tee it up. You tee up the video and let's see these Dozbrack designs.
The like you just said, you just took the words out of my mouth. Dozbrack, man, I've been fucking with him for a while, right? Because I've been fighting for a while and he's known about me. So he used to send me like pictures and artwork that he did. And I'm like, wow, this kid's talented. Mind you, I get artwork from everybody all over the world. Not trying to brag, but a lot of people are into the fighting. So I get like a lot of cool pieces. And his is so cool that I actually went out and purchased it with my own money from him. I'm like, how much for this? He's like, no, I can't charge. And he sent me one. I'm like, you don't understand. I'm trying to get like a couple pieces for my family, you know, not just for myself. I need like 4 or 5 pieces so I can give them out. This one's pretty damn cool. So we ended up working on a little price and about a couple of them. So to tell you that I invest, and you guys know I work hard for my money. I invest my hard earned money on Dozbrack. Hello. Oh, we got cut off.
We got you. We got you. You just frozen the
Hello.
Touch.
Hello.
I got you, man.
Hello. There we go. So when we got the chance to work with him, I was like, hell yeah, man. You know, so there's 2,000 of them left. I already told you the artist, which I think is a great artist just overall, but especially specializes in MMA. So I can't wait for these things to drop, man. There's only 2,000 of them. And, you know, I'm about to break some faces at one point or another. So things are going to be a hot commodity pretty soon.
Yeah, man. Check these things out. Drop the VT. Let's see.
Let's have a look. Backseat. Let's have a look.
Hello. My back. Se acabó.
What's up? Ladies and gentlemen, it's your boy Jorge Gamebred Masvidal. Me and one of my favorite artists, Mr. Dozbrack, have collaborated to bring 2,000 limited edition NFTs. My NFT by Dozbrack will give you priority access to my token. They can be traded just like any other currency, along with some cool benefits and perks. Each one's unique, different backgrounds, hairstyles, fights, all that good stuff. BlockAcid.co. Make sure you sign up. Go get that NFT. Don't say I didn't tell you.
They look absolutely unbelievable. Have you got a favorite yet? Have you had a good look through? Which design do you like?
Can't hear you guys.
You turn the mic on. Can you hear me now? The one I like the most of all is the clown face one. I think I've lost Jorge sound for a second. As you can see there, those Dozbrack designs, absolutely incredible. The white suit one, man, the Miami Beach white suit one is unbelievable. The clown face one, chewing the cigar. Come on, man. Which one's your favorite?
Hello. Can you guys hear me?
We can hear you, yeah?
Can't hear you guys. This is crazy.
You lost us? Listen, let's be straight. Have you got me, Nick? You can hear me?
Yeah, I've got you.
I just lost it for a second. Listen, let's be straight, man. It's all about the Scarface. Let's be straight. That is the picture, isn't it? The white suit, the red shirt, the slick back hair. That is peak Gamebred, peak Jorge Masvidal. That's the one, man. That's the design.
Yeah, man. That's definitely the one people are going to go after. I like the clown face one, man. The clown face one chewing the cigar is
the
sick.
Joker one is nice.
Yeah.
I like the Joker one.
Which is your favorite, Jorge?
Mm.
Yeah,
you know, the Kano one's pretty cool because I'm a Mortal Kombat dude. Actually, I was playing today early. I got my butt kicked, but I was playing today. I love Mortal Kombat, you know. So any way that I could be in there, I'm like, hell yeah, you know. Maybe I didn't play with Kano too much growing up, but still in the Mortal Kombat characters, what?
How much conversation?
Say it again.
Oh, mate. I was gonna say, what's it like? Obviously, everybody knows where you've come from, the struggle to get to where you've got to. What's it like being immortalized now by one of, as you just said, one of your favorite artists? To have someone create these pieces of art. What's that feeling like?
It's fucking insane, bro. It's pretty dope, man. I mean, like, my kids will be able to see the work for themselves. It'll last the test of time. It's nuts, you know. You just grow up wanting to do something so bad, like fighting, you know, and just put all my energy into it. You don't. There's a lot of things I thought out, but there's a lot of, like, intricate details I didn't, like things like this, like collaborations with artists that I actually like and stuff like that. It's nuts. It's very humbling at the end of the day, and it's just because I do what I love, and I love it. Shit, I've been so fortunate, man. It's mind-blowing.
How much input did you have with him, Jorge? How many conversations did you have with Dozbrack about the designs, or did he kind of go away and work on them and you were just like, that'll do there, great?
We talked, you know, I feel like if somebody's going to hire, you're going to hire me to kick somebody's ass, right? And then you start telling me, like, look, and maybe you should do a lot of feints and this. I'm like, you just give me the money, I'll handle the work. So maybe we just talked in, like, in parentheses, like, you know, this and that, and no to this, and then that's it. He's the artist. He has to do what flows out of him. It doesn't really, I think, make sense to me for me to tell an artist too much stuff. You know, it's like wherever it comes from, you know, and I just, maybe a couple of things here and there, just some parentheses, and that's it. Let's go.
Yeah, man, that collection is going to be absolutely sought after, man. I know people in the messages already are going crazy for it. It was a wicked exclusive, can't wait. You're going to get more info from the Block Acid team when that is available. Jorge, man, we've got you on. We've got to talk to you about fighting, of course. That's why you were put on this planet in the first place. Where are we at right now? And are we going to get you back out Madison Square Garden in December for the usual Jorge Masvidal main event?
I would say I would love to. I would love to be there in December. It's a strong possibility, November, December. Definitely going to fight this year, no matter what. You know, I don't want to talk too much about it, but as we know, I got some little problems and stuff that I got to deal with, you know. But I'm going to be in there. I'm in it to win it. I'm at the gym. I'm training. I'm working on new things. I'm working on old things. I'm just still in the gym cooking it up. At American Top Team, which we got a lot of guys right now up in the gauntlet about to fight. It's, you know, a lot of guys I've been teammates of mine I've been sparring with, working out with, that I'm very, very excited to see. I love my team. I love American Top Team, you know, and that's what lets me know, like, yeah, I could still compete, you know, because look what these guys are out there going and doing, and these are the guys that I work with day to day. We got Johnny Eblen fighting for a world title in Bellator now. We got Gamrot fighting another ATT guy that's another standout in Armin. It's like, that's going to be crazy freaking fight, man. We got my boy also freaking 155er Tiago. Oh my gosh, kid's another B. I mean, we got some killers and a bunch of them at 155 now, which is nuts, you know. So I'm just very pumped for the team, man, you know. So meanwhile, until I get back to fighting, I'm gonna live through them. But I think, you know, November, December, it's looking good for me, you know.
Who are we doing it with, man? Who are we dancing with?
Who, I mean, obviously, because I, before this guy, like, overdoses on cocaine and then the fight never happens and I don't get to make all that easy money, I just want to break Conor's face. Just, let's get that paycheck. Let's get that out of the way. Sell the most pay-per-views ever before this guy does, like, harm to himself or somebody else. And I just, like, boom, get that check real quick because I got kids, right? I need the fucking money. Then after that, I don't know, you know. Also, if I can't get Conor, I'm thinking probably Gilbert. You know, Gilbert's a good fight for me. I like him as a fighter because he comes to fight. He comes to either submit a guy or knock a guy the fuck out. We're going to give the fans a fucking bloody fight if that goes down, you know. I think everybody will be very happy with that fight. So that's a fight that I'd love to make. But also, I don't know if he's going to get booked tomorrow. I don't know anything that's going to happen, you know, because the landscape, when I'm thinking I could come back, is some time from now. So I don't know what the landscape will look like either. There's a lot of fights out there. I'd like to get rematches with, like, Stephen Thompson, you know. We could do that one as well. So like I said, I gotta see the landscape by the time I get there.
Did you? You may not have caught the show last week. We had Leon Edwards on, and he said that if he is successful against Kamaru on August 20th,
he wants you to be the first defense. What do you make of that?
See, that's another intangible thing. Am I gonna say no to fighting for the title? Like, hell no, you know. I'll get my ass in shape and get ready for this fucking hooligan and, you know, give it all I got to break his face, you know. So it's a lot of tangibles, a lot of things that could happen out there. I could be getting myself ready for number 10 of the world and all of a sudden fighting for a world championship. Remember, I'm Jorge Masvidal. I'm the same guy that took that world championship fight in 6-day notice in the middle of the corona pandemic, flew all the way across the world to throw down that fight. So what I'm telling you is that I don't even know what I'm going to do myself. I'm unpredictable like that, you know. I'm going to go with the best options all the time. I don't know who the best option right now is or really the time frame yet because, you know, like I said, I got things to figure out. You know, once those things get figured out.
How long are you going to do it for? I mean, it's obviously always going to be in your blood. But how long are you going to do this for professionally? Because you're a businessman. You're doing so many other things. You're dropping an NFT collection now. You've got this. We've just been speaking about Recuerdo. You've got, obviously, your own fight promotion. How long are you going to be competing for?
Man, like I always say, once I don't have it in the ring, in the gym, I don't have to go out there in the fight and like, oh, I don't have it. I'm not going to lose in the fight and be like, oh, no, I know I don't have it. I'm not going to do so well in training and know, like, I can't keep up no more. I can't deal with these guys. I just mentioned all the talent that we have at the gym. And that's a good way for me to constantly, like, measure myself. You know, can I do a round with these guys? Can I do 2, 3, 5 rounds? Is this guy getting ready for a 5-round fight and I'm helping him out and doing my own and getting work and able to push this guy to his limits? Then, yeah, I probably could still fight, you know, and that's how I gauge it off. Like, how well are my performances in the gym? Can I still run a mile in a decent time? Can I put together a good work camp of like 8-9 weeks of intensiveness and then still be able to fight and go out there and compete? You know, because to get that type of gasoline, you got to go through a lot. You know, you got to push your body through a lot. Once you get a little bit older, sometimes your body doesn't hold up for these training camps. Can I still hold up through a training camp? All these things go into consideration before I make, you know, my calls on it. And I feel I could still fight and at the top of the sport for another 2 years at least, you know. Once this, look at Glover Teixeira. I know he just lost, but holy smokes, right? Like, what the fuck? Until he lost, it was like, what a fucking crazy fight. And he was winning a lot of it, you know? And he's, how old is Jiri? Jiri's fucking young as hell, right? He's like, what, 25 or something, Jiri? 26?
It's like 28, I think. 28 so, and Glover's 42.
Prime, right? From what they say of a man's prime is, but I think for fighting, you know, it's different. Like, you learn more, you learn how to pace yourself better, you know how to step on the gas better. Look at Glover. He literally went 5 rounds with a young stud, with this guy. We know he's special, and look what Glover was able to do. So I definitely think I could fight another 2 years at the top of this sport.
Just to love it, Jorge. Just to love fighting.
Say it again.
Just to love the game. Just to love fighting, or is it about the money now? The financial security.
No, I money wise, I'm good. I could have stopped like a year ago, you know, and I would have been good for life. I don't need to come back into the cage for the money, you know. Does it bring me a lot more money? Of course, you know. Every time I fight, it's way more money, you know. But it's something in here, you know. There's like I'm not happy closing the book, you know. There's a couple people's heads that I have to take off and eye orbitals to like concave in, you know. I won't stop the sport till I get some of these individuals out the way, you know. So it's I'm married to the game, you know.
Yeah, man. That fight with Conor you mentioned earlier, probably the richest fight in the history of the UFC. That fight happens this year, early next year. It does bigger pay-per-view numbers than anything we've seen before. It's just going to be absolutely insane. Would you dust off the BMF belt for that one as well? If he said he wanted the BMF belt, would you bring that out?
I'll bring out the BMF belt only for a bad motherfucker and some cash money. You know, you're a bad motherfucker, you got money, let's put some money, let's get a little escrow going. You know, I put a couple million aside, you put a couple million aside, and it comes with the belt as a cherry on top, you know. That's what a bad motherfucker would do, is get this money. So It's there, you know, but it has to be right under my stipulations. And with that belt, I'm like a fucking tyrant. Though I'm against tyranny and communism and socialism, I'm a tyrant with that BMF belt, you know. How you guys doing over there in England? Have they let the restrictions out? You guys could use your cell phones in public again and stuff. You guys are good over there?
It's all good. It was crazy.
Talk to me some politics. Bad. You guys are back good over there. You could drink water in public. Don't have to have the mask on. All that's good.
Yeah, we're all good now. We can travel around with no masks.
I was praying for Australia, man. It was crazy what they're doing, man.
Yeah, Australia was full on, man. That was crazy lockdown. Adam's actually in Spain right now. So we're kind of connecting three different countries here. So he's all good.
Spain's bad now?
No, he's good.
No, Spain's a little bit more restrictive than the UK. But yeah, it's all good, man. You don't.
How's the economy over there? You guys good? You guys fully recovered?
Yeah.
Yeah, man. We're going in the right direction.
What's gas like over there, huh?
Oh, man, don't get me started on this. Crazy. Now. Don't get me started on this.
Crazy. Tell me, $200.
You guys get fucked. You guys pay by the liter, bro. Oof.
Yeah. So to fill a tank now is like 150 pounds, $200.
It's good to do these conversations, these dialogues. Why is it the gas is so high over there?
Because they're getting fucked by the government. That's why.
Okay. It's one way to look at it.
It's always the way. Because they've got the perfect excuse now, Jorge, and that's the fact that there's a war going on in Russia and Ukraine. And they're saying we have to buy our premium barrels now, even though the cost of crude oil is cheaper than it was before the pandemic.
Yeah.
Someone's getting rich, and it ain't us.
No, it's never us, man. And they try to limit us on what we do and go to sleep at this time because, you know, this. And now, I don't know if they're talking about it over there, but have they been talking about a monkeypox over there in England? They're trying to shut down the country. They've been talking about the monkeypox over there, too?
Yep.
I'm telling you, I'm going to talk to Elon Musk. He can just send me out. Go somewhere where ain't nobody going to tell me what to do, man, because I ain't doing it again, man. I ain't doing that shit.
You're going to end up living on the moon. You're going to end up living on the moon talking to Elon. He'll send you up there in one of his rockets, man. He'll get you up there.
Get me somewhere, Elon. Let's go, bro. Send me out somewhere, man. I'll be like the guinea pig. See if humans could last in Mars or whatnot.
Listen, before I let you go, promise us one thing. Once you've got all your stuff sorted and you're back in camp and you're training back for a fight, let the Block Acid boys come out and we will document the whole thing. And then you can show these guys afterwards, once you've done your thing, what Mezcal's all about, okay?
You know, you my boy, and you guys do a fucking great job editing, recording, fucking the sound bites. You guys always do a great job. Known you how many years? I don't even fucking know, man. So, of course, you're more than welcome to. We'll get, you know, once I sign that fight, you guys come out for like a good 2 weeks, like a training block, you know? And then, like, a week before the fight, you come back out again. We'll make sure we get
wicked, man.
Perfect, man. Much appreciated.
Listen,
Jorge,
you go well.
As always,
stay safe, man.
Yeah, man. Thank you for your time, brother. See you soon. Take care again, Brad. All the best, buddy.
God bless, brothers. Freedom, liberty, and justice for all. God bless everybody.
Preaching to the choir. Take care, man.
Jorge Masvidal, man. He's an absolute superstar. That fight with Conor McGregor does crazy, crazy numbers. I don't care what you say. That's the biggest fight the UFC can make today. Doesn't matter what they've done. Doesn't matter where they've been. Both those guys, the biggest pay-per-view stars on the roster. That would be absolutely insane. Yes, please, Dana. I know you're a fan. You've been on the show. Sign us up for that. New York in December. Get those guys back into camp. Before we go, I want to say thank you to my El Catarral Spanish friend here. And just one last hit. Thank you for jumping on the show, man. I appreciate it. Here's me thinking I was going to be piloting all on my own tonight, but apparently no, I can't even be trusted to do one show on my own. So I'm joined by Kamzat NFT himself has joined me on the show. I appreciate it.
Listen, you proved tonight that I am not needed, my friend. You have done it. It's just that what you need to do is get more mates, all right? So when you're trying to book somebody else to come and present the show with you, they actually turn up rather than phoning me dressed like this and having to help you out, all right?
Exactly. Before we wrap up as well, that's it. Get more friends. Make more friends. Before we wrap up, thank you for everyone for watching the Block Party. I just want to reiterate tonight's competition. It will be chosen by random tomorrow by Rusty on the community podcast Wednesday night. There it is right there, ladies and gentlemen. Number 14 ranked Smash Brothers NFT, the Darren Till machine gun NFT, I guess, AK-47 NFT. Absolutely sensational, much sought after. Everybody wants a slice of that. Just to reiterate, super easy. Buy 100 block. Send it to that wallet right there. Details also in comments down below. That will then be registered. That will then be turned into a digital raffle ticket to win that NFT. You are allowed to enter more than once. So if you want to buy 500 block and send that, you will effectively get 5 raffle tickets back. All of that block you send will be burnt as well. That's a really important point to make in this current climate. That block will be burnt. You will be entered the competition. And tomorrow night, you will find out whether or not you have won it on the community podcast. Thank you for everyone for joining us on Block Party. Thank you to all our guests. My goodness, another stellar lineup of guests. Next week, oh, I'll say one thing and I'll leave you with it. Shavkat Fight Week, baby. Shavkat Fight Week. So you know who's coming on the show next week. The main man himself, Shavkat Rakhmonov, fresh from a win. You wait and see. The guy's a shooting star. Him plus many others on the show. Block Party, episode 9, coming at you next week. From me, from him in his hat, we'll catch you soon.
Dos cervezas, por favor.